Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and I am just in awe. I'm in awe of the incredible words that have come forth, the messages that have come forth over this house. And it was very difficult, if I can be honest, it was very difficult to navigate through what to minister on the final night. And I felt like the Lord just kind of dropped a father's heart in me to minister a word. To minister a word that I truly believe tonight, some of you have been held back by the assignment, the assault of the enemy. And you want so bad. Some of you have been in this conference for 21 years. This is your 21st conference. And you want so bad to see the promises of God and the prophetic words of God fulfilled in your life. But it feels like you're in a tug of war. It feels like some of you feel like you're just walking in sludge and you can't seem to move forward in what God's called you to. And I truly believe tonight, the word that God dropped in my spirit, I believe tonight people are going to be healed. I'm going to say that again. I believe tonight people are going to get healed. I believe tonight that God is going to shift things in the hearts of people, that things that once held you back and held you bound, you are going to be set free tonight. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. Come on, somebody's weakness being turned to strength in this place. Whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Father, we pray tonight, let your word come forth with clarity and power and might. Open our ears to hear, our hearts to respond, that we may be changed by the power of your word. Lord, that we will not simply be hearers of the word and so deceive ourselves, but doers also, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Minister Daniel, thank you. Stay close. Title of my message tonight, if you're taking notes, is From Outcast to Overcomer. Write that down, from outcast to overcomer. Look at that person next to you and say, you're an overcomer. You're not an outcast. You're not rejected. Come on, tell them you're not rejected. You're an overcomer. It's something very interesting happened to me years and years ago. Some of you have actually heard this story. I shared it years ago. And it was a very interesting moment because it was like a flood of memories. Have you guys ever smelt something or went through an experience where all of a sudden like a flood of memories came back to you? Well, my wife and I were in Korea with my parents, and we got invited to a dinner, and you had to get really dressed up for this dinner, suit and tie, and it was awesome, and my wife and I were so excited. We were so excited. And so we spent so much time getting ready, and we decided we're going to go down there and get there. My parents were supposed to meet us there to kind of help usher us in. And so we get down there, not knowing if my parents were there or not. We get down to this room, and we're standing there, and this beautiful, wonderful, older Korean lady, about this tall, comes up to me, and she says, can I help you? And we're like, yeah, we're here for the dinner. She goes, who are you? And we said, oh, we're James Morocco's sons. And she looks at me, and she looks at my wife, and she goes, you're not welcome here. So, and she kept telling us, no, this isn't for you. You can't come in. And I'm like, excuse me? I'm like, do you know who I am? You know what I mean? Like, gangsters started coming out of me, right? And she basically, in few words, told us we're not invited to this party. Well, what made matters worse, so at that moment I'm like, okay, this is strange, but you know, maybe there's a misunderstanding. So we kind of decided, hey, let's go out, let's just go to dinner. And so we went to one of the restaurants there, and it was hard for me because we're sitting in that restaurant and I'm watching all these other people walk by and getting ushered into this room that we were just rejected from. And something began to happen to me. And it was like that moment where all these memories begin to flood my mind. These moments where I remember when I was a young man, probably the same age as my son, and I was trying, you know, I had two older sisters, so I was trying to be a gentleman. And there was a young lady walking up the steps, and I kind of had a little bit of a crush. This is pre-Shannon Cross days. I had a little bit of crush on this girl, and she was carrying her books. And so I thought I would open the door for her. And so I opened the door for her, and she looks at me with this face like, pfft. And she grabs the door. These are some of the memories that are flooding my mind as I'm dealing with this situation that just happened. Now, I know none of you here have ever battled with rejection. None of you here have ever been betrayed in any way. None of you here have ever felt broken at all in your life. So I know I'm just speaking to myself. But in that moment, this flood, this memory came back to me and flooded my mind of this girl carrying these books up the step, me trying to be a gentleman, and she looks at me and grabs the door and slams the door and says, I can open my own door, thank you. Memory after memory after memory after memory, I begin to think about those times that I was rejected. And I looked at my wife and I said, babe, I think I battle with rejection. Now, the problem was this. I called my dad. I said, Dad, I don't know where this is coming from because my parents were always just so gracious. And I mean, they're amazing. And I never, ever felt rejected by my parents. But there were seeds of rejection planted in my life and all these things that happened to me. And I needed to get healed. And in that moment, I recognized and had to acknowledge my desperate need to be healed. Because then I began to go back to those moments where I realized that a spirit of rejection kept me out of promises. A spirit of rejection kept me out of open doors. A spirit of rejection hindered me from stepping into the fullness of what God had for me. And I began to realize that if I didn't get healed in that moment, every closed door became an obstacle instead of an opportunity to have faith. As we look at this passage in Hebrews, we see something so profound. This is the hall of faith. And in this passage is named amazing people. Gideon, who is the least of his tribe, and yet God called him. David wasn't accepted by his family, a shepherd that became a giant slayer. God can take the least, even the weakest in society, and make them great with his glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things. Someone say amen. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are so that no one may boast before him. So when the devil tries to come at you and remind you of your weakness, you just remind him of God's glory and God's grace and God's mercy. See, the work of the Spirit is not limited to your physical stature, your ability, or even your inability. When God calls you, when God calls you, it doesn't matter why your personal limitations are the way they are, your individual inadequacies, your past. God has the power to work in you no matter your past, no matter your problems, your brokenness, your issue. God can heal you. God can restore you. God can do a miracle in your life. He can do it. You got to get a revelation. If there's any revelation you get tonight, it's that God is not limited to even my own personal issues and inadequacies and limitations. As a matter of fact, God looks at the people that are the most limited and said, hey, I can use that one because they won't take all the glory and they're going to be dependent on me. So we see in this hall of faith names that are profound in the sense that they were weak, they were limited, they were inadequate, yet God used them. And they became people that were put into the hall of faith. But there's an unusual name in the hall of faith. It's the name of a man named Jephthah. And I'm looking through this, and I was shocked for a moment as I'm reading through the hall of faith, going, who in the world is Jephthah? In Judges chapter 11, turn with me there, Judges chapter 11, verse 1. Jephthah was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. And Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when they were grown up, they drove Jephthah away. You are not going to get any inheritance in our family, they said, because you are the son of another woman. So Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob, where a gang of scoundrels gathered around him and followed him. Jephthah, how in the world did a man named Jephthah, who was the son of a prostitute, get put in the hall of faith? Well, I want us to look at Jephthah's life, because I think there's some Jephthahs in this place tonight. You might have gone through seasons of rejection, seasons of betrayal. Some of you have faced opposition. Some of you have faced issues in your life that you feel disqualified from the call. You even heard prophetic words this weekend going, that can't possibly be for me because God hasn't called me. God has forgotten about me. Can I tell you right now, we're going to tell the truth, shame the devil. God loves you. God sees you. God has called you, and he's going to use you for his glory. See, I want to tell you something, even the mightiest. And I love how this passage starts off explaining who Jephthah is. Jephthah was a mighty warrior. Even the mightiest of us can experience rejection and pain. We don't know what pain people are hiding. Church, can I just tell you right now, you don't know what pain people are. It doesn't matter. They may be wearing a suit. They may look good. They may look like they got it all together. But we don't know. We don't truly know what pain people may be carrying. The fight of rejection and resistance, betrayal and brokenness is real. And there are people that are really good at hiding it, and they come into a room like this, they come into a church like this, and they want to hide that. But yet we start seeing the fruit of it, and we're like, why in the world is this person the way they are? Why are they hindered? And they can, it's interesting because we can give them every opportunity, and then for some reason it's just like, man, I can't move forward in what God's called me to. Well, they look the part, they play the part. Man, everything looks good from the outside, but inside they're in turmoil. Some of you may even identify with that tonight. You may feel like a Jephthah. Hey, I've got great potential. I'm a mighty warrior. I've got a great anointing. I've got a great calling, but I'm still battling with inner turmoil. We look at Jephthah. He was an outcast. Not only was he rejected, but he was an outcast. He was the son of a prostitute, illegitimate, and socially marginalized. There was no inheritance for him. He was cut off from his inheritance. There was no place in the family's social economic structure. He had nothing. There was no wealth. There was no money. They didn't send him off with money and say, hey, you know what? Here's a couple G's. Go have some fun. Sorry, we're kicking you out. They cut him off completely from all supply. Culturally, tribal identity was your security. Inheritance, a future. So losing it was devastating. It was everything for him. The family you belonged to was everything. He had no sense of belonging. One of the greatest desires, I want everybody to hear this tonight, one of the greatest desires of people is to belong. When people walk into this building, church, you need to hear this tonight. When people walk into this building, because there's some Jephthahs that God's going to allow this church to minister to. When people walk into this building, most people just desire a sense of belonging. I want to belong to something. Many of them have been separated from their families. Many of them have been cut off. That's why we must be a church where people can belong. This can't be a church where people merely attend. It has to be a place where they belong. That's why life groups are so important. That's why ministries are so important. That's why this church pushes to have as many life groups as possible. It's not just so we can fulfill some numeric obligation of saying, hey, we got 200. It's not that at all. They want to have as many life groups and as many ministries. Why? So that the Jephthahs can belong. And I'm believing God that if you can be faithful as a church to create a place and a culture where people can belong, he'll give you more Jephthahs. He'll give you more mighty warriors. He'll give you people with incredible callings, because this will be a place where people will come in that were broken and lost, and they'll flourish and they'll be transformed, and God will raise them up. So he was stripped of any bit of significance within the family, wasn't even allowed to play even a small role. And you think about this, it was shameful. There's a lack of honor. He was excluded from any role in the family and society. Sometimes the deepest wounds come from the people that we love the most. But can I tell you this, and I want you to hear this. Somebody here needs to hear this tonight. Those wounds can be the very soil God uses for healing and for growth. I believe for some of you tonight, this conference marks a shifting in your life. Some of you got prophetic words where things were revealed and exposed, and it wasn't that God was trying to shame you. It was that God was putting his finger on things to heal you so that you can go to another level. So we see very clearly he was rejected. He was an outcast. He was cut off. But I'll tell you this third one. This is interesting. When we look at this man named Jephthah and who he was surrounded by a gang of scoundrels. Now, this is an interesting moment, because in this moment, Jephthah leaves his family and he goes off, and it says that he is surrounded. Now, we don't know whether he went to look for those scoundrels or those scoundrels found him. But all we know is we find him in this place where he is surrounded by scoundrels. Scoundrels. I'll say it right. Now, this is what's interesting. That the Hebrew word for the word scoundrel is the word reik. Now, why that's important is it wasn't just people that were nefarious in some way, or they just, you know, they're kind of like bad dudes. No. This was like the word reik in the Hebrew means empty, vain, idle, worthless. So the picture in which is being painted for us is to understand how scandalous, how horrible, how wretched these people really were. Many times, and why this is so imperative for you to understand this moment, I'm not here to point out people, to make people feel bad about who they're around, because I truly believe as a church, we need to go out and reach the lost, reach the wretched of society. But tonight, somebody needs to hear this. Many times, who you surround yourself with is a reflection of who you perceive yourself to be. No. Hold on a second. You didn't hear what I just said. I didn't say it is who you are. I said many times the people we surround ourselves with is a reflection of who you perceive yourself to be. Where you are and who you're with at times can be indicative, not necessarily of who you are. I want to say that again. But who you see yourself to be. You're drawn to certain things. You're drawn to certain people. You're drawn to certain environments because that's all you think you deserve, or that's the only place you think you belong. And you can never escape or break out of that, because it's not necessarily the environment that's controlling you. It's the perception of how you see yourself that is controlling you and dictating where you live and how you live and who you live with. Pastor, I don't understand why I keep getting these horrible men. It's because you perceive yourself a certain way, and that's all you think you deserve. Pastor, I don't understand why I always see myself around dysfunctional people. Why, Pastor, I don't understand why dysfunction always follows me. It may not be an indicator of who you are, but who you perceive yourself to be. Well, I'm broken, so these are the only people that know me and understand me. Pastor, these are the only relationships I deserve. These are the only relationships I can manage. And so he finds himself surrounded by scoundrels, the wicked, the worthless, the vain, the idle. How does a mighty warrior, what's so strange to me is how does a mighty warrior find himself in that environment? Friends, if you could get a revelation tonight of who you truly are, it should shift where the environments that you place yourself in and the people you associate with. Oh, Pastor, I'll never be rich. I'll never be a business owner. I'll never be this. I'll never be that. Well, if you think that, then that's what's going to happen. But if you can tap into a revelation of God's incredible grace and God's incredible mercy, that he has transformed your life, that God has something big for you, that God wants that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it, that he ain't done with you yet. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for wickedness. Rise up and say, I'm going to step into the fullness of what God has for me and who God has called me to be. Jephthah finds himself surrounded by scoundrels. But one thing that I love about Jephthah's life is here he is, he's rejected, he's an outcast, he's surrounded by scoundrels, and yet he continues to war in the waiting. I want you to hear that he continues to what? War in the waiting. In Judges chapter 11, verse 4, sometime later, when the Ammonites were fighting against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Come, they said, be our commander. You mighty warrior, come and be our commander so we can fight the Ammonites. Jephthah said to them, didn't you hate me and drive me from your father's house? Why do you come to me now when you're in trouble? The elders of Gilead said to him, nevertheless, we are turning to you now. Come with us to fight the Ammonites and you will be head over all of us who live in Gilead. I look at this, I'm like, holy moly. But you got to remember something. It says sometime later. Come on, look at that person next to you and say, sometime later. I want you to ask that person next to you, are you ready for the sometime later? Ask them, are you ready for the sometime later? Because God might have you in a holding pattern right now. You may look at where you're at right now and go, man, I'm so far, I'm so distant from what God's called me to. I'm rejected, I'm an outcast, I'm not even in the right environment. Man, I got all these problems and these issues. You may be in a holding pattern right now, but sometime later, there's gonna come a breakthrough. Sometime later, God's gonna intervene. There's gonna be a moment for you to rise if you're ready. There will be a moment for you to rise if you're ready. Sometime later in the waiting, he remained a warrior. He didn't lose his fight. Friends, you get a prophetic word. Many of you got a prophetic word, and it's for, guess what? Sometime later. I might as well just tell you that now, because some of you are like, prophetic word, come forth now. Some of you walked outside the church going, okay, come on, Escalade. I was promising Escalade. Come on. Some of you got a prophetic word for some time. Can you continue to fight until the sometime later comes? Are you gonna give up on that prophetic word? Are you gonna give up on that calling? Are you gonna give up on that gifting? See, he was a mighty warrior. That was a gifting in his life. But you gotta realize too, that was a part of his identity which got rejected and made him an outcast. So if the most of us, when we experience rejection and outcast, it so affects and influences our identity, we have a hard time operating and walking in the gifts God has given us because it's attached to our rejection. See, in his rejection, he didn't reject his destiny. In his rejection, he didn't reject his destiny. At times, waiting is our greatest enemy because it takes a toll not only on our destiny, but on our faith. And that's why I love this next point. What we see with Jephthah is not only did he continue to war in the waiting, but he continued in faith. I'm going to say that again. He what? He continued in faith. He was counted in the hall of faith, Judges 11, 24. And I love this statement. He says this, what the Lord our God has given us, we will possess. He didn't shrink back from the enemy. He didn't, You know what's crazy is many times when we're facing our own opposition or even our own delay, you know what's hard is when you're going through facing opposition and going through delay, it's very hard to remain tenacious and bold. Right? I have found in my life that opposition and delay affects my boldness. So then when it's time to step into that divine moment that God has ordained for me, whether it's stepping on a stage, whether it's starting a life group, whether it's starting a ministry, whether it's starting a business, whatever it may be that God's called you to, starting a school, whatever it is that God's called you to, you've experienced delay, you've experienced opposition, and all of a sudden that boldness that you once had when you first got the prophetic word. And some of you, oh, you're, woo, I'm so bold right now. I'm so full of faith. I got a prophetic word. Bring it on, devil. 3 months later, 6 months later, a year later, you're like, is this really God? Then you start going, you know what? We got false prophets. Right? We start questioning God's call. We start questioning God's purpose. And the boldness we once had when that seed of faith was planted in our hearts begins to wane. So then when it's time to step in, we don't have that boldness that we need to have. Can I just encourage you? Continue in faith. It may be a while. It may be sometime later. You may face delay. You may face opposition, but don't quit. Don't allow the devil to stop you from being bold, to rob your boldness, to impact your faith. Stay faithful. Stay bold. Stay encouraged. Come on, somebody. Stay encouraged. He had a revelation, and this is what I loved about Jephthah, man. Jephthah had a revelation of the power of God to bring about victory. He says, that which God has said, we're going to possess it. I am confident not only in my ability, but I'm confident in God's ability. Even through his rejection, he kept his faith in God. Too often rejection from others is projected on our relationship with God. We perceive that just because our father or our mother or our family or our friends have rejected us, that God has rejected us. But that couldn't be further from the truth, friends. Don't allow people's perspective of you, people's words over you to be projected on God. God says different things. Come on, I got to read this to you. Listen to this revelation from Psalms 27. Psalms 27, 8. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me. Do not forsake me. This is the psalmist saying, oh God, don't reject me. Don't forsake me. God, my Savior, though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. The Lord's not going to forsake me. The revelation, you need the same revelation that the psalmist had. There may be people around you closing doors on you, rejecting you, telling you what for. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Don't allow the lies of others. Don't allow the lies of the devil to keep you away from trusting in God and believing in God and relying on God. Come on. I'm preaching harder than you're cheering on. Come on. I need you to, I almost punched a hole through this floor. Even though Jephthah was rejected, he was an outcast. He was surrounded by scoundrels. He continued in faith. He warred in the waiting, but I like this. He became an overcomer. He became an overcomer. Let me just say this. There's no overcoming without a war. God gave him victory. He went from outcast to overcomer. Friends, you're going from outcast to overcomer. Pastor, you don't know my past. You don't know what I battled with. You're going from outcast to overcomer. Pastor, you don't know my sin. You're going from forgiven, from sinner to forgiven. You're going from outcast to overcomer. You're going from broken to healed. You're going from rejected to accepted. Come on, from outcast to overcomer. He became an overcomer. He had victory. But I want to end with this because I want you to see this. One of the things that we have to realize, and I loved Pastor Jesse's message this morning. I was getting rocked by the Holy Ghost up here. She, thank God that she hears the voice of the Lord. And when after we were done, she's prophesied over me and she prayed for me and prophesied over me. And in the back, I was like, man, that is exactly what I needed to hear. And that audacious, I want audacious faith. Anybody here want audacious faith? I want audacious faith, but there's something that I learned from the life. There's something imperative that I need you to get tonight that I learned from the life of Jephthah. That there's a fine line between faith and presumption. Look, you got a prophetic word, and let me tell you right now, it's going to take faith to walk in the fullness of the word that you got from the Lord. And you are called. You have a calling. You have a divine purpose, and you have a divine calling on your life. And it is going to take faith to step into the fullness of what God's called you to. But church, it is imperative that you understand something. There is a fine line between faith and presumption. In Judges chapter 11, as we continue on with the life of Jephthah, here's this overcomer, someone that was an outcast. He was rejected. He was an outcast. He was surrounded by scoundrels, but yet he kept the faith. He continued on. He didn't give up. He continued a war in the waiting, and he became an overcomer. But even in the midst of this, in Judges chapter 11, 29, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah. He crossed Gilead into Manasseh, passed through Mizpah and Gilead, and from there he advanced against the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph. Ooh, what faith. I'm going to have triumph. I'm going to be victorious. He is so convinced that God's going to give him the victory, he makes this public vow. When I return in triumph from the Ammonites, it'll be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my house as a burnt offering. Then Jephthah went over to the fight to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into his hands. He devastated 20 towns. He subdued Ammon. Now, can I just tell you, God didn't give him the victory because of the vow. God already determined to give him the victory. I want you got to get this in your spirit. God already determined to give Jephthah the victory. And God already gave Jephthah the giftings to be victorious. He was already empowered and he was gifted to be victorious. He didn't even need to make that vow. We see clearly the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. God already promised him victory. Jephthah was accepted by God. Here in this moment, he was accepted by God. There was no doubt. It doesn't matter who rejected him, God accepted him. Though the world rejects you, God accepts you. And God's acceptance silences the voice of all your critics, all your doubts, all your fears. What I love about Jephthah is he recognized his need for the Lord's help. Even though he was known as a great warrior, he didn't rely upon his own strength to be victorious. He called on the Lord. He said, Lord, I need your help. Friends, can I just give you a little bit of insight? If you'll be dependent on God, he'll strengthen you and he'll help keep a heart that is, keep a posture of a dependency on God. Don't rely on your own strength. I know some of you are incredibly gifted. Praise God. Some of you are so talented. Some of you are so good looking. Man, I'm telling you, you got what it takes, but don't rely on your own strength. You can't do it. You can't do what God's called you to in your own power and your own strength. It is not by might nor by power. It is by the Spirit of the Lord. And here was a man accepted by God, empowered by God, gifted by God, yet he presumed upon God. What? Anointed by God, gifted by God, accepted by God, yet he presumed upon God. He tried to make a deal with God. See, presumption is a product of pride that tries to manipulate God's character instead of trusting and knowing his nature. Unfortunately, Jephthah was confident in God's power, but he was unaware of God's nature. This is sad, because there's a lot of people that are aware of God's power, but they're unaware of God's nature. God's character, what God desires. They know what God is able to do, but they are disconnected from what God truly desires because they don't know his nature. And so the problem is, here is Jephthah empowered, called by God, yet he was unaware of God's nature. So it caused him to make an unnecessary vow. God didn't require, this is what's so sad about this moment. God did not require from Jephthah a sacrifice. He didn't require from him a sacrifice. As a matter of fact, we see it very clearly. This is what's so unusual for me, is Jephthah already knew. He was schooled in how God operated. He knew that when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, that was in the moment where God established. It was clear. God established human sacrifice is a no-no. It is unnecessary. It is not required, and it never will be until Jesus comes. Are you with me? So he knew. Can you just think about this real quick? Hold on a second. Because Jephthah makes this unnecessary vow with God, going, whatever comes out my dough, I'm going to sacrifice. Well, let me see. The only thing that's going to come out of his door is either people, whether it be his servants or slaves, whether it be his wife. I don't know. Maybe that's what he was counting on. Just joshing with you. Or maybe he was counting on it being one of his animals. Well, the problem is this. None of those, whether it was an animal or a person, would suffice for a sacrifice. So why in the world would he offer that? And I looked at the story going, why? Jephthah, why would you do that? God didn't require that of you, and it was completely unnecessary. Why would you do that? Why would you bargain with God? Why would you find it necessary to bargain with God? In that moment, can I tell you what I know and I'm confident took place in that moment? Is Jephthah in that moment reverted back to his brokenness and his rejection? Out of pride, people who feel like they have something to prove will make unnecessary vows. You can carry God's favor. You can carry his power. We can have a promise from God. We can have a word straight from his throne and yet filter everything through our brokenness. You're going to get a powerful prophetic word, and all of a sudden you hear one thing. The prophet says one thing, but you hear a completely different thing. Why? You're filtering what they said through your brokenness, your hurt, your rejection. And here's Jephthah. God already gave him a promise. God already anointed him for the task, and yet he feels it necessary to make a public vow. You know what this is? This is the dangers of false spirituality. He had to be seen, and he made it a public vow. That's why he had to sacrifice his daughter. It wasn't a secret inner vow. If it was an inner vow, he could have been like, oh, well, good thing I made it an inner vow. It was a public vow. So he had to be true to it. He had to be seen as one who was close with God. So he made this great public vow, something that was so much greater than any other vow. Look at the vow I'm making. God, I make this enormous, amazing, this is going to out-vow any other vow. Now, I know there's nobody in this church that's like this. But sometimes we feel like we have to prove our spirituality. We have to prove how awesome we are and how bigwig we are and how much faith. Look how awesome I am, how faith-filled I am. And the problem is this: we do things outside of the will of God because we're entering into this spiritual one-upmanship. And we're not doing it for God's glory, we're doing it for our own glory. We're trying to compete with somebody else's spirituality or somebody else's faith. And we step out of the will of God and try and step into things that aren't for you. Things that God has not called you to or even anointed you for. And the sad thing is he had to be seen publicly in front of all these people that rejected him. All these people that rejected him were standing right there when he made that public vow. I want to show you guys how spiritual. You kicked me out of the family. Let me show you how spiritual I am. I'm going to make a crazy, audacious vow with God. It's ungodly striving. I'm going to offer something no one else has done. This wasn't him challenging. Now hear me. This wasn't him challenging the people. Big difference. This wasn't him getting up like Barnabas and giving supernatural offering. This wasn't him doing something to stir people up to do great things for the Lord. This was him trying to secure his own spirituality and trying to cover his own rejection. This was him bargaining with God and trying to prove, I'm greater than you, I'm more spiritual than you. You made a mistake when you rejected me. See, the problem was this. He was mighty. He was powerful. He was victorious. He got a promise from God. He got an anointing from God, but he was still broken. You know how many Christians I know that are called by God, anointed by God, amazing people, super gifted, but they operate out of their brokenness. They're unhealed, but they want to put on a spiritual face like, hey, I got it all together. Psh, go to Christian counseling. No way. I'm greater than that. We talk a certain way, act a certain way as a facade to cover up really what we are and what we're facing on the inside because we don't really know how to truly get healed. We just know how to respond to things. We just know how to act a certain way. And this is the problem. We think if I make enough vows and if I act a certain way long enough, then it's going to change me. But we never go to the place of healing. We never come to this place where we say, God, expose those areas in my life. God, I desperately need healing. We just say, hey, if I pretend long enough, if I just go along with it long enough, then everybody's going to think that I'm okay. And you're not okay. And year after year, 21 years of a prophetic conference, and you're still in the same place, in the same hole that you were 21 years ago, and you can't move forward. Why? You got the promise, you got the calling, but you're broken, and you're hurting, and you're holding on to the rejection, and you're holding on to the brokenness. But tonight, God wants to heal you. God did a work to bring you from outcast to overcomer. Christ did a work to heal you and to make you whole. And I believe tonight it's about time for you to get healed. One of the saddest moments in Scripture, I don't even want to read this portion, but I have to. It's one of the saddest moments. I'm telling you, to me, there's Jesus on the cross. And there's this moment in Scripture, in Judges chapter 11, 34, when Jephthah returned to his home in Mizpah after this tremendous battle, this tremendous victory. When he returned to his home in Mizpah, who should come out to meet him but his daughter, dancing to the sound of timbrels. She was only a child, except for her, he had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and cried, oh no, my daughter, you have brought me down and I am devastated. I have made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break. Friends, somebody here needs to hear this tonight. Your pride will affect those closest to you. Don't think that your pride is just between you, yourself, and you. It impacts your kids. It can become a generational curse. It can cause a brokenness down from generation to generation. See, friends, you can have great faith. You can have an incredible destiny. You can have fantastic giftings, yet still revert back to your brokenness. Having faith is not just being convinced of God's ability, but you have to get a revelation of his nature. And his character. You've got to get a revelation of who you are in him, and that by his grace and his mercy, who he made you to be. Friends, you're called, you're anointed by God, but you've got to get healed. I've seen too many Christians make decisions out of brokenness and out of pride. And God is saying, look, I just want to lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. I want to do great things through you. But you keep undermining what God wants to do by reverting back to your brokenness. It's so unnecessary. How many times, even as a pastor, have I sabotaged that which God wants to do? Because in my own pride and in my own arrogance and in my own brokenness, I revert back to my pain instead of going to him, knowing I need to be healed. Saying, God, please heal me. I don't want to go through this next season of my life and miss what you have for me because I'm going to revert back to my brokenness. Friends, I don't want you to miss it this year. I don't want all the prophetic words that you got over your life to be null and void, because in the moments of pressure and in the moment where you're about to step into the precipice of your promise, you revert back to brokenness. I don't want you to experience what Jephthah experienced. I don't want your kids to experience what Jephthah. Friends, we gotta get healed. And tonight, my only desire is, Lord, use me as a catalyst to maybe even expose some things. Maybe some of you know, even as I was preaching, you know, man, Pastor, I keep reverting back to this broken place. Friends, enough is enough. Tonight, God can heal you. He gives us a promise. He is the healer of the brokenhearted. He binds up every wound. You don't have to go on tomorrow with that same brokenness and that same hurt and that same rejection, that same pain that you've gone through for years and years and years. You can be healed tonight. Pastor, is it that easy? His power is that. It's not that it's that easy. His power is that great. From outcast to overcomer. You are overcomers. Church, you are overcomers. And I believe this church is going to be filled with overcomers. And I believe this church is going to be filled with outcasts that become overcomers. I believe that the Jephthahs of this city, of this state, are going to be transformed by the power of God. But it starts with us. I'm going to break that yoke of slavery. I'm going to, over my mind, over my emotions. Can I tell you, I thank God for that little Korean lady that exposed something inside of me that needed to be healed and fixed. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I know this isn't some hyped message tonight, but I believe his healing power is flowing in this place. Friends, I don't know what brokenness you face. Some of you, it's not rejection. Some of you, it's betrayal. Some of you, it's abuse. I don't know what it is at the core of your identity. But friends, God, He's called you. He's anointed you. And tonight he wants to heal you. And if you're here and you say, Pastor, pray for me. As you were preaching tonight, God revealed some things in my life that need to be healed. Some things in my identity, some things in my mind, my heart that need to be healed. Pastor, will you pray for me? On the count of three, just lift your hands so I can pray for anyone. One, two, three. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I want everybody to stand to your feet tonight. Man, I feel his healing power in this place even now. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Can we just take a moment right now to worship the Lord? He's so good. He's so wonderful. He's so amazing. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Everyone in this house, just lift your hands.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.